Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The book of 1 John, towards the end of the Bible, Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, the book of 1 John and chapter number 1. Notice, if you don't mind, in 1 John chapter 1, and let's begin at verse number 3. 1 John 1 and verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And notice, if you don't mind, as we see over and over, it speaks about that God is light. Notice with me in verse 5, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, 1 John 1, 5, God is light. God is light. Is light. Now, this becomes a big theme that we find in the gospel record of John and in the epistles of John, is the idea of that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And because He is light, we are able to see Him, to know Him, and to have fellowship with Him. Notice over and over we have the word fellowship twice in verse number 3. We have the word fellowship. We see the word fellowship again in verse number 7. This becomes the great theme of 1 John. Remember, the book of 1 John is written for believers, and it's written for the purpose of letting us know for sure that we have eternal life. That our fellowship with God is an evidence that we have a relationship with God. We'll explain those two terms in just a second. But remember that Jesus had told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verily, verily, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus scratched his old silver head and said, I don't get it. It's not like I could crawl back into mom. How does this work? And Jesus explained that just as real as the first birth was, your spiritual birth is just as real. For example, if one of my kids went up to their mother and said, Mom, was I born? She would laugh at him, say, of course you were. But Mom, how do you know I was born? She can go, I was there. And she can give a time and a place. She can explain the event that occurred. But a child can say, well, what? How do I know that I'm alive right now? Well, that's a good question. Is an evidence that you're alive right now because you have a birth certificate? Is there any proof or evidence that you are alive right now? If a child said that to me, I'd pinch him. Hey, do you feel that? Okay, good. Yeah, there's proof. Can you fog a mirror? There's evidences that present tense currently you are alive. It's not just based off of birth certificate. We are thankful that there is a point, action, and time where we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. However, it doesn't stop there. There should be evidences, birthmarks, that I am alive. And the book of 1 John mentions that one of the great birthmarks that we have the privilege of having is the ability to have fellowship with Him, to be able to have a wonderful, personal, intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because that God is light. So if you don't mind, let's just walk through this passage here in 1 John, and let's learn and be reminded of this wonderful birthmark and the what God is, that God is light. Notice the first thing, the message we have heard of Him. The message we have heard of Him. Notice with me in verse 5. Then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, as we hit context last week, John is about 90 years old. He's gone through quite a bit. And as 2 to 3 generations of Christians have passed since the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified on the cross, rose again the third day, spent 40 days with his disciples, and then ascended up to heaven, 60 years have passed since that time. 2 to 3 generations of Christians have come and gone, and they've now have a new generation of Christians who have denied that Jesus Christ, if he is God, then he could not have been here on the flesh. And John is left here as a witness, the last of the 12, to be able to say, I have seen him, I've heard him, I've handled him, the word of life. I am a witness that he is real, that these things are true. And whereas you cannot see Jesus physically, he says, I did, and I'm trying to give you the testimony. But you have heard the message that Jesus Christ was God, robed in flesh, and he dwelt among us. The things that you heard about Christ is true. Jesus Christ was here. He is alive. He is God, and God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. In fact, pause here and notice with me in the book of Gospel Record of John, which we're going to be hitting in our main service today. So again, God is very good of lining up things. Notice with me the book of 1 John chapter 1. And I will do very well at trying not to preach my morning message in Sunday school, but because they relate together, they're very important. Notice with me the Gospel Record of John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life of him was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same was a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John 1, verses 1 through 14 speaks quite a bit. Clearly, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word was made flesh. That means God, the Word, was robed in flesh, and he dwelt among us. And he dwelt among us to be the light of the world. What is this light to do? A light opens up the path. It makes something clear. It makes something reveal. Jesus Christ's job as the light of the world was the same as the title of the Word. What do we do with a word? A word reveals truth. Well, Jesus Christ was the living Word to reveal the truth of who God is, to point the light to God, to say, that's God. That's what you need to see. See him holy. See him high. See him lifted up. Follow after him. He was that light. That was the whole purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, who was God, robed in flesh, came and dwelt among us. His whole ministry, his own purpose was to point people to God and to show that God loved us. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful God that we have, that we can trust his holy name. We could trust in the God who shows us who he is, and that because of that, we could be received into his family. Once again, it says in the Gospel Record of John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That when we understand the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, who is God, dwelt among us, and then this Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried to prove that he really was dead. Then he rose again to prove that God was satisfied with the payment that was made, and that we receive that for ourselves, that God has given us the power, not of ourselves, but through the Holy Spirit, to become the sons of God. We become a brand new creature. We become born again. We now can know God. We have a relationship. Which brings me to the second thing, the fellowship we have with him. The fellowship we have with him. Notice with me in verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Again, notice in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Lord, with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, 1 John is placing a great emphasis on fellowship. Now, fellowship is different than relationship. Relationship in the Bible has something to do, carries with it the idea of what to do with our condition. What do we mean by this? So I have a son, and I'm thankful, Lord, for him, and he is my son. I was his progenitor. He comes from me, and no matter what he does, that relationship will never change. He will always be my son. And so he could break my heart, and he'll be my son. He can make me happy, he'll be my son. That relationship does not change. However, our fellowship can ebb and flow. For example, if he came to me and said, listen, old man, I'm tired of you, and he punched me in the face, do you think my fellowship would be broken at that moment? Yeah. It'd be strained a little bit? Yeah. What if he punched me in the face and said, hey, can I have $20? Do you think I would be quite inclined to hook him up?
No.
Now, if he repairs that fellowship and says, you know what, I shouldn't have ever done that. That was me. I sinned. I was wrong. Would I be more inclined? Yes, because our fellowship is restored. But if he punches me in my face, is my relationship different with him? Mm-hmm. No. You're saying, yeah, you're like, his relationship does not change. He is always going to be my kid. So our relationship doesn't change, but our fellowship can. Does that make sense? So when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I become his son. My relationship is secure. Now, because of this new relationship, I now have the privilege of having fellowship. And part of the evidence that I'm truly born again is to be able to develop this fellowship with God, to be able to spend time with him. We say, well, then how do I spend time with God? Very good. We could spend time with God in a couple ways. First of all is by reading our Bible. This is how God speaks to us, is that I could allow him to speak to me. I could listen to his voice. I could hear what he says. Then I could pray to him. In prayer, it's my opportunity to speak to him, to tell him, to speak to him. We know a little bit about when our fellowship strains. Let's give an example. Today, we have a problem of phones, right?
Yep.
So much so that people can't even enjoy a meal without that phone at the table. And an interesting phenomenon happens that if you take away electronics away from a family and say, all right, here's a dark room, here's some lights. Now, no TV, no radio, no computer, no phone. Go to town. People are not used to fellowshipping anymore, that there's an uncomfortable silence. What do we do? What do we say? And when they finally start talking, it's superficial, nothing deep. How's the weather? How's school? Great, wonderful, okay. And just look back at our plates. Well, is there a difference in relationship? No, it's a difference of fellowship. Yep. Our fellowship isn't strong. Do you know that you can live in the same house and not have a good fellowship with someone? And that fellowship needs work. It's always done intentional and on purpose. God has given us the privilege that since we've accepted Him as Savior, for those of us who have, that we now have a relationship change. We now have the privilege of having a relationship. Afterwards, as Christians, we work on our fellowship to stay close to God. Now, God doesn't leave. It's us. Yeah. You guys have heard the old story of an old couple inside of a pickup truck, and the wife is on the one side and the husband's on the other side, and they look at the bench seat between them, and the wife looks over and says, "You remember the days when we were young and in love, and we were right next to each other when we were driving down the road?" Well, he looks at her, looks at the empty seat, and said, "I didn't move."
Amen.
The idea is God doesn't move. We move. We get so busy, we get distracted, and we stop having the fellowship, but that fellowship is available at any time. Yes. You are always as close to God as you want to be. Yeah. That's one of the privileges that God has given us with this fellowship. So our relationship deals with our condition. Our fellowship deals with our conduct. Yeah. Once we have our condition taken care of, that He's forgiven us of our sins, that's secure. Afterwards, we on purpose need to keep and develop this fellowship. It's available for each and every one of us. Every one of us have equal access to God. I know sometimes, preacher, you may understand this, that sometimes when we people look at preachers and think that we got a special hotline to God. They imagine that we've got a red phone in our desk with a glass cover we could pick up and just automatically dial God, or when we become a preacher, we get a special calling card to 1-800-PLEASE-PRAY or something. We got a direct line. But in all fairness, you have as much access to God as I do.
Amen.
You can talk to God for yourself. You don't need anyone to go between you and God. You have direct access to God yourself. And God, because He's the light, Jesus is the light, is pointing you the way to God. You can talk to God yourself. You can fellowship with Him for yourself. You can spend time with Him for yourself. And you should. And God wants to hear from you. I had branched off from the idea of prayer. You could tell how close people are to God by their prayer time. God, haven't spoke to you in a while. Hi. Okay. See you later. And you could tell that sometimes that prayer is so strained that it's superficial that you'll even have light talks with God. God, I got a quick prayer request. Here you go. Walk away. But God wants more than that. He wants us to be able to have, and we can because of our sin condition being taken care of, He wants us to have an intimate fellowship with Him, that we could speak to Him about anything and everything. That we could speak to Him about light things. Lord, it's pretty outside. It's a wonderful day. Thank you for providing this wonderful day.
Amen.
You could talk to Him about deep things. Lord, I was reading in your Bible today, and this is a great concept, and I just wanted to talk it over. God wants us to be able to talk to Him about anything and everything. That's part of the fellowship that He desires for us to have. Surely this fellowship is with Him. Notice again in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice now in verse number 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Remember, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If you say, oh yeah, I'm close to God, but you're wandering around in the darkness away from Him because of conduct, you lie and do not the truth. Why? Because God is light. There are certain things that if you are walking close to God, you cannot participate in because God is light. If you have a good, close fellowship with God and say, God, I love you. You're wonderful. This is great. Lord, I thank you for all you're doing. And then turn on pornography. You're not having close fellowship with Him.
Amen.
And you can just plug in whatever you want over there. There are certain things that we cannot do because it's darkness and God is light. If we're in fellowship with him, it really affects a lot of the things that we do. And it's not because he's putting a list of do's and don'ts. The Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts.
Amen.
It's things I choose not to do in order to stay in fellowship with him. That's the privilege that God has given to us. So again, there's a difference between relationship, which cannot change. If I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he's given me the power because of his Holy Spirit to become the sons of God. I am the son of God. I've now been born into his family. I cannot be divorced. I cannot be disowned. I cannot be separated. That is secure. That will never change. What can change is my fellowship, which is based off of my conduct. I could be as close to God as I want to be, or I could be as distant as I want to be. But God has given us the privilege that we can fellowship with him. You know what that also means? That any time I do go into the darkness, I can always go back.
Amen.
That's the privilege of that. That he wants me to be close to him. He wants me to be intimately close to him and to have that because of what he's done. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue there, how do we keep close to God? How do we be able to maintain this fellowship when we step in darkness? That's a good question. Because there are times people can't pray because they have unconfessed sin. Which brings me to 1 John 1:9. I love this verse. Notice with me. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've used this illustration before, but one of the things that I always imagine is a glass plate over my head. Again, my weird way of thinking things. And so I have direct fellowship with God. And as long as that glass plate's clear, we're good. But every time I sin, if you can imagine, it kind of fogs up that plate. It starts to make it dirty. In order for me to have that maintained clear fellowship, that needs to be cleansed. Does it make sense?
Yep.
God wants us to be cleansed. In the book of Jeremiah, God tells the prophet to take some undergarments, girdle himself with linen. He says, I want you to wear these undergarments, and I want you to wear it for quite a while. Don't change clothes. Don't wash them. Well, that sounds fun, right? Wear an undergarment for a couple months. And God says, don't change clothes, don't change, okay. Then God says, all right, now I want you to take that undergarment, still not wash it, and I want you to bury it in the Euphrates River, right in the bank, and just leave it there until I tell you. Okay, you'd imagine the prophet kind of crushing his head, okay, that's what tell me to do, okay, yes, sir. And he buries it. Then, after a couple months, God says, I'll go dig it back up now. Now, can you imagine, it's already been worn for months, then it was buried in a filthy riverbank. And when he takes it out, now he's got those undergarments. If you could just imagine to, in your mind's eye, to equivalent this, and to take them out, and now they're covered with dirt. You see roots starting to hang out, maybe some bugs crawling all over. And you can imagine Jeremiah going, what am I going to do with this? And the one thing that he's hoping God's not telling him to do is put it back on. Why? If you were to take on that soiled linen and to put it on, that dirt as it dried would be so itchy and just feel grody. Maybe to have some bugs crawling all over it and to feel it just itching on your skin. You're like, what was the point of this? The idea is that God wants to have fellowship with us. But when we're dirty, it keeps us from being close to God, just like that linen girdle would be keep us from wanting to be close to that girdle. In order to have fellowship, the thing needs to be cleansed. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, remember that word confession, people have problems with it. They feel like they're telling on themselves. I told you the old story of a drunkard who came into to the church And at the end of the invitation, the drunkard came down and the preacher was praying with him and said, you know how this drunkard came down and you know how he's drunk right now. And the drunkard looks at him and says, don't tell God that. He doesn't need to know. Sometimes we feel like confessing is telling on ourselves. But let me tell you, God already knows. The word confess actually means to agree with God. We're agreeing with God with what he already knows. If you said, God, I told a lie, you're not going to go, oh, God's not going to be surprised. He says, I know. Just waiting for you to admit it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Praise the Lord. He forgives us, but he doesn't put a period there. To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's just imagine when my kids were little, let's say that young Krista, right before a church service, baby Krista, she's in a nice, beautiful dress. And right before church, it happened to rain outside and she finds a mud puddle and jumps into the mud puddle right before church. Kids don't do that, do they?
Never.
And so she comes in and there's mud all over her face and her hair and her dress. And oh, you got yourself in a mess. You're all dirty and we have to go to church. I'm sorry, Daddy. I don't just pat her on the head and say, I forgive you. Let's go to church. You know what I do? We take her inside and we cleanse her. We change her garment, brush out her hair, cleanse her. So now she could go again. That's what God does. He doesn't just pat us on the head and say, you're forgiven. He cleanses us. Why? So we can be fellowship with him. We can be close to him because our sin puts that barrier between us and God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? So we can have fellowship with him. That's what God desires most of all, is to have friends. He's looking for someone to be with him. And because of Jesus Christ taking care of our condition, we now have the relationship so we can have fellowship with him. Now it's up to us to maintain that fellowship. That if we walk in darkness, we confess our sins, and that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse our sins so we can walk with him. And we can be as close to God as we want to be, because he is the light. As we go through 1 John, we're going to put a great emphasis on being close to the Lord. As we walk through 1 John, we see the great privilege it is to have these birthmarks, to have these privileges, to be close with him. As we end, I want to remind you, you're always as close to God as you want to be. What keeps you distant? Sin. But we're thankful that God can take care of that sin, and that we can maintain a good fellowship with him. We could pray with him. We could read our Bibles. We could spend time with him. And we can have fellowship with our wonderful Savior. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus. And I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.